Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A master of Broadway theater on live television turns his focus on country music legends tomorrow night on Lifetime. His stage is Patsy and Loretta. The made-for-TV movie pairing Megan Hilty as Patsy Cline and Jesse Mueller as Loretta Lynn. Executive producer Neil Malone joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Family-friendly Pure Fix is making waves among the multitude of new programming ventures, reaching audiences through smart TV sets and TV-connected devices. Mood Swings joins the lineup of original series next Thursday, and we'll bring on star, creator, executive producer Crystal Hunt after the bottom of the hour. Also ahead, NBC's second new series to be chopped, Going for Broke Goes Denver, in our Up segment, and our new classic trivia winner. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Adelbaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Great to have you with us on this Friday for the Frog of All About Television. 58 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We have a wonderful hour in store for you, and we invite you to be involved with our guests. Simple. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. If you're shy about using the phone, no problem with us, because we got a chat room ready and waiting for you. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you're involved. And while the program is on the air, you can showcase it to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Neil Malone from Lifetime's new movie, Patsy and Loretta, premiering tomorrow night, joins me here in New York after these news notes. For the second time this week, NBC has dropped the axe on a new series premiering last month. Bluff City Law, the Monday night television with drama starring Jimmy Smith and Caitlin McGee, is a goner, following comedy Sunnyside last night. But unlike Sunnyside, which will wrap its 11th episode existence on NBC's website and Hulu, NBC will let Bluff City stay on Monday night another 6 weeks. NBC officials claim Bluff City has not been canceled, but so far, the series has averaged 4 million viewers on broadcast over the last month, increasing by more than 3 million viewers through on-demand and DVR replays. On the flip side, Fox is relighting a second season of Bless the Heart, the new Sunday night animated comedy. That program features the voice of Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig. Incidentally, in the recent weeks, we have interviewed the creators of both Bluff City Law and Bless the Heart. You can catch those at our website, blogtalkradio.com/televised, as well as on podcast through iHeartRadio's network. And fans of classic Norman Lear-produced sitcom Maude are mourning the death of co-star Bill Macy, memorable as Maude's husband Walter. Remember when B. Arthur as Walter would say to him all the time after a joke, "God will get you for this, Walter. He will get you for this." Macy died last night at age 97. No cause was disclosed. And that is news notes for today. Our first guest was late partner Craig Zidane turned the Broadway musical into great entertainment for both film and television. Film, including the Oscar-winning movie Chicago, and in the last 6 years, live Broadway musical theater specials for NBC, starting with The Sound of Music in 2013, continuing with Peter Pan, The Wiz, and last year's Emmy Award-winning production here in New York, Jesus Christ Superstar Live. His latest work can be seen on Lifetime tomorrow night as executive producer of Patsy and Lorraine. Excuse me, Patsy and Loretta. Joining us live in New York in a rare internet radio exclusive interview, executive producer Neil Malone. Neil, welcome in.
Thank you very much. Patsy and Lorraine, maybe that will be the sequel.
Could be. You never know. Hey, there's more than one friendship. I'm sure either Patsy or Loretta Lynn had the opportunity to have over the course of a lifetime. And again, Neil, it's wonderful to have you with us. And after all the time you and Craig did Broadway musicals, both for film and for television, what had you decide for this project to go to country music?
Oh, you know, I just love exploring all different types of music. So when the opportunity came up to do Patsy and Loretta, I leapt at it because it's more than just a story about country music. It's really a story about friendship, and that is universal to me.
Mm-hmm. What about this friendship among two of the great legends, I mean, Patsy Cline, the one who made Crazy, a worldwide song phenomenon, Loretta Lynn, the coal miner's daughter, and both of whom have been the subject of very popular biopics. Coal Miner's won the Oscar for 50 Spacek's performance. Jessica Lange, I believe, was in Sweet Dreams playing Cline. What about the friendship that you wanted to showcase that we haven't seen before?
Well, you know, the friendship between Patsy and Loretta was basically just touched on a little bit in Coal Miner's Daughter, not dealt with at all in Sweet Dreams. But to actually take a deep dive into that really deep friendship, which didn't last very long because of Patsy's death, it just seemed a great opportunity to tell this story that people don't know about and how it reverberates for today, especially when the issues of women being in a workplace and not being at each other is so prominent and something that should be pushed forward in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's interesting about this movie is that it has a Broadway connection in the stars. Megan Hilty was on Broadway, and she was also with a TV series that you and Craig were involved with for two seasons on NBC Smash. And
yep.
Then in the case of Jessie Mueller, she got her claim to fame on Waitress.
That's correct. I mean, when we approached work, going back to the beginning of when we started doing film and TV, we said to each other, this is Craig Zaden, my late partner, we said to each other, we need to keep our theater connections going in the new mediums that we were attempting. So everything that we've done has had, if it weren't, you know, very much out front, to at least to us, we can pinpoint some theatrical connection. And we always felt that the talent that existed in the theater was incredible, and we wanted to bring that talent forward, which is why we gravitate towards theater artists, because it isn't just that they're from the theater, it's that they're just great actors.
Mm-hmm. And what about Megan?
It's also the fact that when you work with theater actors, there's something ingrained in their training, in the training for the theater, that adds to their professionalism when they approach the work. And that's something that I've always admired.
Because of that training, Neil, was it relatively easy for both Megan and Jesse to get into the roles of these two iconic figures in country music?
Well, I don't think, you know, when you're approaching roles of icons, I really don't think it's ever easy. I think that their training gave them the tools in which to apply themselves to know how to do the work. But these are massive personalities that they had to inhabit. So they did a ton of work, especially Jesse, because Jesse was cast just a few weeks before we were starting to shoot. And so she just kind of like did this real deep dive, a real quick deep dive into all things Loretta.
Mm-hmm. How quickly did Callie Corey, the Oscar winner who also did Nashville for 5 years on first on ABC, then on Country Music Television, how did she get involved to direct? And also, another thing about this movie is that you were able to get both Patsy Cline's daughter and Loretta Lynn's daughter to co-produce this.
Yeah, no, we were very, very fortunate. We hired a writer by the name of Angelina Burnett, who happens to be not only a great writer, but she happens to be the daughter of this great musician, T-Bone Burnett. T-Bone Burnett is married to Callie Corey. So after Angelina turned in the draft and we all liked it, she said, well, I showed this script to my stepmother, so have you ever thought about asking Callie to direct? Never in a million years would we think that she would do this movie, but with the connection, we thought, why not? And so the next call was to Callie's agent, and Callie indeed did love the script, and we negotiated and got her on board. And that, to me, was kind of like a very, very, very key hire, because what Callie brings is this authenticity about female friendship, this authenticity about country music. So it was like the perfect fit with the perfect project.
You're meeting Neil Malone. He is the executive producer of Patsy and Loretta, the new biopic premiering tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Lifetime. Neil joins us live here in New York on Tomorrow We Televise This Half Hour. Simon Applebaum with you live also from the Big Apple, 58 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment from Neil, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming Monday on Tomorrow We Televise, the creator and showrunner of the new NBC Thursday night comedy Perfect Comedy with us, that's Leslie Wake Webster. And we'll have our first interview dealing with one of the new programs on the new programming service Apple TV Plus that premieres on smart TV sets and devices, including a thing called Apple TV, on November 1st. He's Michael Brady, the co-cinematographer of The Morning Show. That's the satire of morning television starring Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, and Steve Carell. Leslie Wolf Webster and Michael Brady, they're live with us on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Megan and Jesse were interviewed by a publication I write for on the web, Media Village, and that interview came out today, Neil. And both of them had to say that it was very interesting for them to get into their roles without, in one case, having seen either Sweet Dreams or Coal Miner's Daughter, and in one case, having seen Coal Miner's Daughter. I'm wondering what kind of guidance both of the daughters of Klein and Lynn had for the actors.
Well, you know, they came aboard as co-producers of the film, and we were very, very happy to get them, because it's kind of hard to do these true life stories without the cooperation of the families. And both Patsy Lynn and Julie Fudge were just incredible in terms of opening their hearts and their stories about their moms to us. And so I think they, you know, Julie came on the set a bunch of times. Patsy showed up on set several times. And they really, really bonded with the actresses. And they read the script. They commented on the script. And they worked very, very well with Megan and Jesse.
Mm-hmm. Take us to the timeline of the film.
While we were shooting, we were actually shooting at the Ryman, which is the original home of the Grand Ole Opry. And it was right across the street from the Bridgestone Arena. And they were doing an 87th birthday party to Loretta Lynn. I don't know if they told you this story, but Patsy invited them over and they gave them backstage passes, and they were free to roam and hang out with all these country artists and to see the celebration of Loretta. And that was kind of a great moment for the two ladies.
Mm-hmm. When you're performing on that stage, on the Ryman, you know, the original Grand Ole Opry, what does it do to the actors? Does it elevate their performance? Does it give them a little bit of a, you know, pause that, oh, my God, I am in this incredible mecca of music?
Honestly, I think they were awed by the opportunity to sing at the Ryman. They walked out on the stage and they just couldn't believe that they were there. I mean, it's like there are these hallowed halls all across the world, like the Apollo or various Broadway theaters, and it means a lot to the performers. And I think when Jesse and Megan, especially playing the roles they were playing, got to sing on that stage where the people they were portraying sung so frequently, it was kind of a very spiritual experience for the two of them.
Take us through the timeline of the film in terms of when it takes place and how do they meet and start developing that friendship, that relationship.
It begins at the beginning of Loretta Lynn's career, when she really didn't have this notion that she was going to be a performer, where she liked to kind of like noodle around on the guitar. And at that time, Patsy was getting her career in gear. And you get to see little snapshots of their life prior to their meeting as to where they were. And they actually met after Patsy Cline was in a pretty serious car accident, and she was banged up. And Loretta was just starting. I think she had one or two hit songs, and she was performing in Ernest Tubbs' record shop in Nashville. And she gave a dedication of a song that Patsy did, a shout-out to Patsy, and sang the song. Patsy just happened to be listening to the radio in her hospital room and said, I'd like to meet her, called her over to the hospital, and that's how they met. And they bonded very, very seriously at that meeting. And they became friends until the end of Patsy's life, which was like about almost 2 years later.
Mm-hmm. Because Callie had done Nashville, created that series, and it ran a good while on two networks. In fact, it was audience demand. It was brought back when it was canceled by ABC to Country Music Television for 2 years. How did Callie take the Nashville experience and bring that to her directing and the way she wanted to showcase both of these women?
Well, first of all, we were lucky to shoot in Nashville because it just kind of worked out that way because it was crew availability. And also, Callie, because of the Nashville series and because she also has a home there, is like the queen of Nashville. So it just, all the doors seemed to open up for us and everything was made right for us because of Callie's involvement with the Nashville series. So in terms of production, we couldn't have asked for a better situation. In terms of the actual shooting there, there's so much great talent there behind the camera that we were able to make use of. And also, because of Callie again, we actually had the opportunity to shoot on the locations where these events occurred. We shot in Ernest Tubbs' store. We shot in at the Ryman. We shot in the actual Patsy Cline Dream House, which was also really kind of very spiritual because you did feel the ghosts there at that time that we were in the house. So it just made it very, very smooth and easy to shoot in Nashville because of Callie.
Mm-hmm. What did the film say about the role women had or the status women had as country music stars at the time? From watching TV shows and other things, I got the sense that country music was one of the first genres of music, one of the first genres of entertainment where women really could rise to the top because there were so many women like Patsy Cline and Lynn and Tammy Wynette and Dolly Parton and others who at a very interesting time like the 60s and 70s became superstars.
Well, I think that it was really difficult for women in country music to kind of achieve any sort of fame. When we start, where we start the movie, there were certainly many, many more male country stars than female country stars, and it was a male-dominated scene, probably more so than the pop music world at that time because there were a lot of female recording artists in pop music and even in R&B, more so than in country music. And because of women like Patsy, and especially taking people like Loretta Lynn under their wings, it kind of set the stage for this emergence of a female country star. Because it was really difficult in terms of the abuse that they went through, just in terms of financially and in this male-dominated world. So you had just a smattering of female stars like Dottie West and June Carter Cash several others, but they weren't a lot. So I think because of Patsy, she kind of set the stage for that to happen.
Patsy and Loretta, Lifetime's new original movie about the careers and the friendship of country music icon stars Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn. It premieres tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on Lifetime. And we have the executive producer of the program, Neil Marone, with us live here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from the Big Apple. Happy you're with us on this Friday afternoon for the program All About Television, now in our 13th year on the air on Blog Talk Radio Speaker and also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for Neil, don't be shy. Break through at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday on the program, among our guests, we'll have one of the co-creators of one of the most popular children's programs of all time, from Nickelodeon, Blues Clues, Tracy Paige Johnson. Why is she on the program? Because next month, Blues Clues is coming back as Blues Clues and You. All new version, all new episodes, all new hosts, and a whole lot more. And if you don't want to wait for Nickelodeon to run the show next month, you can actually see in a preview version some of these episodes on Vudu, the Walmart Video On Demand service, a available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Now playing right there. Blue's Clues and Blue's Clues New executive producer Tracy Paige Johnson next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Looking at what you did with Craig, particularly on the live musical specials with NBC over the last 6 years, what did the two of you learn about how Broadway musicals can be as television?
You know, there's a lot that we learn just in terms of being able to adapt these Broadway musicals into live television. You just have to present them in a way, you know, and we figured it out as we went along. You know, first starting with Sound of Music, we made the decision to not have an audience because we were doing somewhat of an homage to the way that live musicals were done in the 1950s. And there was kind of a pushback from the audience, from the viewing audience on that. And then we just kind of continued to experiment at Peter Pan, what we decided to do differently than Sound of Music Live. Sound of Music Live was shot very, very stage-like, very proscenium. So we decided to open it up to a way of shooting it very 360. And then on the Wiz Live, we decided that we'd use LED screens to kind of change the set and give it a more vibrancy and a better pacing. On Hairspray Live, we went outdoors on the back lot of Universal, and we thought that we were doing like a live movie musical as opposed to a live Broadway musical because we were outside on sets, outside in the street, and doing musical numbers outside. It had a gigantic scope, probably the biggest scope of all the live musicals. And then with Jesus Christ Superstar, we decided that we would do it as Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice wanted it done, as a concert. So we were able to do a very theatricalized concert presentation with an audience. And so we were able to just adapt the material as to how we felt at the time in terms of its presentation for TV, what we thought would work best.
Mm. And with Jesus Christ Superstar in particular, which was done with a live audience, I think really brought a lot of energy to the table. It seemed that everything clicked. The acting, the choreography, the music, the way the music was staged. I think Alex Winiski was the director on it, whose work I admire very much from Dancing with the Stars. I think he's the best live TV director on television. The way
he also
things.
Did Hairspray Live for us, too.
And Grease Live also, which he won the Emmy Award, a long-deserved Emmy Award for. And that opening shot of Jessie J doing Grease, mini cam in front of her for minutes at a time, just works so beautifully.
Yeah. No, Alex is kind of brilliant when it comes to devising these shots and giving it the energy. And I would work with Alex again at the drop of a hat.
What do you think about the fact that because of what you and Craig did, other people followed? You had Grease Live. You had
we didn't do Grease Live, by the way. We
did
Sound of Music Live.
Right.
We didn't do any
of
live musicals, only NBC.
Right. I'm just saying that because of what you and Craig did, other people picked up the ball to do their thing, as Fox did with Grease Live, as ABC did with Bye Bye Birdie, which wasn't really a film, and things like that, to bring the Broadway musical and take it into a whole different television dimension.
I think it's great. I mean, it's what is it? Imitation is the best form of flattery. When we started, you know, the first thing we did, and I think it was in 1993, our first TV musical, which was done on film, was Gypsy with Bette Midler. And that kind of started the whole ball rolling again. If we hadn't done Gypsy, there might not have been a Chicago, because you can look at the building blocks from Gypsy onto Cinderella that we did with Whitney Houston and Brandy, and the choreographer for that was a young man by the name of Rob Marshall. Rob Marshall, then we were so impressed with him, we gave him the opportunity to do our next TV musical on film, which was Annie, with Kathy Bates and Victor Garber and some great Broadway talent. And that was the TV movie that caught the eye of Miramax, and he was brought in to discuss the movie version of Chicago. So it kind of all started with Bette Midler and Gypsy, if you kind of look back for the beginnings.
Mm-hmm. And you could see that Bette was you know, she had the Ethel Merman role down to a science. I mean, she had that kind of personality to do it.
Mm-hmm. I, you know, Neil, and I both credit Bette with our careers, basically, because if she hadn't said yes to Gypsy, who knows what may have happened? Who knows what the trajectory to our careers may have been?
Before I ask you where you go next, I wanted to get your thoughts about Smash, because that was something that you and Craig had your hearts really into, and NBC gave you 2 years. You worked, I think, with Steven Spielberg and DreamWorks on it. What do you make of that experience to try to show people what makes a Broadway show tick or possibly tick?
You know, the idea of the show came from Steven Spielberg, because he wanted to do a musical about the making of a Broadway musical, and then hired Craig and myself on to produce the show. And it's a fantastic idea, because we tried to humanize the process. And, you know, there are so many people involved in a TV series that to get it right. We didn't get it right week to week, but certainly every week there was something valid to watch about the show that really made it stand out. And we're very, very proud of that achievement. And as a matter of fact, there is still hope that Bombshell, which is the Marilyn musical within the show, can be a Broadway musical. So we're still kind of slowly, slowly excavating that and working on it.
So in terms of television, what's next for you after Patsy and Loretta?
Oh, there is, you know, had a great selling season this pilot season, sold 3 shows to various networks. There are a couple of more TV and movies that I'm in negotiations with. There are several. There's one original film musical that's in development at Fox, which seems to be picking up some steam, and then negotiating some other stuff. So nothing to really talk about specifically right now, other than there will be a lot of new work coming up very soon. One thing I can mention is I'm doing a Broadway musical of Some Like It Hot, and so that you will be hearing about very shortly, too.
That I have to think would be a great, great deal.
And Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman, who wrote all the songs for the Bombshell musical and Smash, are doing the score. Matthew Lopez, who has written this play, The Inheritance, which is now in previews on Broadway, did the book. And Casey Nicolau, who is the best and probably the hottest director-choreographer, now is the director-choreographer. So it's a great, great team.
You heard it right here, people. And I have a hunch, just listening to the talent, that it's going to be a Smash. One of those can't-miss deals with all that talent. Absolutely. Absolutely. The film is Patsy and Loretta, starring Megan Hilty and Jesse Mueller. It premieres tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, on Lifetime. Executive produced by Neil Lerone and directed by Oscar winner and Nashville creator Callie Corey. Remember, you can check out Lifetime.com or MyLifetime.com for all the details. And remember, check out your local listings for where Lifetime plays in your area on cable and satellite. Once again, for all the web details, www.lifetime.com or MyLifetime.com. And if you wanted to see an interview that was done by the stars, check out www.MediaVillage.com. That interview was released this morning on that site, www.MediaVillage.com. Neil Morone, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. Let's do it again soon, and congratulations on this movie, and all the very best, full steam ahead with your career.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Neil. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Neil Lerone from Patsy and Loretta joining us live here in New York. More Bobby Televised coming your way, including our classic trivia question of the week. We have a winner. We'll tell you what that is and the answer. But first, the words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Are you looking for a very unusual book that will give you some great reading and great listening? How about this one, Wild Game by Adrian Brodeur. It's a very unusual tale, and you can find it right now at Audible.com. And through a special trial offer, you can get that book and 2 others for 1 month for free. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get 1 free audio book And two, from Audible Originals, the growing catalog of original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater from around the nation, and great one-woman and one-man shows. And remember, you get a one-month trial with great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So hear for yourself now why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For those three audiobooks and one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. It's the first time in several months we have a winner. And that winner is Joe Schramm of Long Island City, New York. Congratulations, Joe. You are going to be getting The 3-Minute Rule, the book by our recent TVBT guest, Grant Pedidic. Say less to get more from any pitch or presentation. And The Comeback, How Innovation Will Restore the American Dream, by the head of the Consumer Technology Association, Gary Shapiro, with a foreword by Mark Cuban of Dallas Mavericks and Shark Tank fame. The question we've been posing for the last week on the TV series Gunsmoke: what was the last name of Festus, the popular character created by and starring Ken Curtis? Well, the answer was Festus Haggen. That's H-A-G-G-E-N. Haggen, H-A-G-G-E-N. Joe Schramm of Long Island City, New York got it. He gets the books. Congratulations, Joe, for being our latest winner. We will have a new classic trivia question on Monday's show. If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your full name and address. So if you are the winner, next week we'll get those prizes out to you. And if you missed the question on Monday, if we are the winner by then, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. But remember, tune in Monday. Hear the question, get your answer in. Soon you do, so you have a chance to win. And remember, all the very best. When we come back, you'll hear the star, the creator, and the executive producer of the new comedy series coming your way to Pure Fix next week. It's called Mood Swings. Crystal Hunt joins us live from Los Angeles after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio and www.speaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR and Speaker, your home for On Wheels Now. It's all about auto, auto racing, and everything else in between. Check it out next Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, On Wheels Now. Now on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Friday afternoon, the 18th of October 2019. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Another great guest coming away in the half hour ahead. We invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, you ringing up 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And later this half hour, we'll have an update segment on one of our Monday topics, which has just got a big gig at the Denver Film Festival. If you've looked through this program over the last 18 months, years or so, we've been showcasing a lot of new programming services that you can get either mainly or exclusively on smart TV sets or smart TV devices. Services from Spirits Network to the Fantasy Network to Dust from Gunpowder and Sky to more recently HBCU Gateway and the new Health Channel from the popular PBS series America's Health Channel. Well, we have another service to share with you about the next half hour. It's called Pure Fix. It's been around for a while on smart TV sets and smart devices, and it's a family-friendly, wholesome network, and it's getting a lot more into original programming than ever before. And one of the newest shows is a show called Mood Swings. It's a comedy involving a group of women who get together, and that group of women includes two iconic people. Donna Mills, many people knew her, and one of the queens of the made-for-TV movies in the 70s and 80s. And then later on, of course, the popular co-star, the long-running CBS series, Knots Landing. And Diane Keaton, who made a big breakthrough in the popular movie, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, and has done a lot of great things ever since. Well, joining us live from Los Angeles is the creator, the executive producer, and the star of Mood Swings. We welcome in Crystal Hunt. Crystal, welcome aboard.
Hi, thank you. I'm very happy to be somewhat in New York since you're there and I'm here. I miss New York.
The power of internet connection, what can you say?
Right?
Absolutely. Crystal, how long have you thought about doing your own vehicle? Not just starring in it, but also being behind the scenes?
You know, it really just came to mind when Donna Mills and I were doing The Queens of Drama back in like 2013, 2014. And we were given a task of creating a treatment to pitch on this show we were doing together. And she and I just started talking because I knew that she had produced several things in her past too. And we were like, you know what? It would actually be really great. Like, Golden Girls did so well. It never got canceled. There's so many, like, nice, like, long, you know, long-surviving shows that are predominantly female that really never got canceled. They just, either some of the actors decided it had its run or whatnot. It never, you know, actually got axed. I was like, we really should do something about that and put something that's, you know, fills those shoes, but a modern version of it on the air. We should do our best to, at least. And she's like, yeah, you know, ever since I've been in drama, I said, you don't have to tell me. Ever since you've been in soaps, you know, she did nighttime soaps and daytime, but you get this sort of stigma that you can only do drama, you know, that you can't be funny. And I think that that's the key, is proving to people you can actually be funny. So at that point, I was just hell bent on making that happen. I was like, I got to do this. Same thing with her. She hasn't been able to really prove in a while that she actually is a great comedic actress. And, you know, other than my doing Sydney White, I haven't been able to do the same. So it was kind of my mission from that point forward.
Was putting the show together based on experiences you've had as an actress?
Well, I would say that putting the show together was more of the things I paid attention to as an actress on soaps, especially the things that the producers had to handle and do. Granted, whenever you're actually doing them yourself, there's so many things that pop up that you never foresaw, like, you know, approaching. You definitely are, it's a constant learning experience. Like, you're constantly having new things pop up that you didn't know exist. So you could truly shadow, you know, production and still have things pop out that you've never expected, you know, to come up in your own production. So it's been a big learning experience, but I would say definitely not hard enough that I would never do it again. In fact, I would say I grew a lot from it, and now I know what to expect in the future.
For those who don't know, Crystal has had a good career in the world of daytime drama, some would say soap operas, being on One Life to Live, being on The Guiding Light, a few others as well. When did this project all come together in terms of, all right, I've got the idea together, I've got the concept together, I want to take it now somewhere and get it on the air, and then take me through the process of how it landed on PureFlix?
So I had another series on PureFlix called Hilton Head Island. It was a soap opera they did with a bunch of daytime and nighttime soap opera stars. So they had, like, they had Donna Mills on the first season playing my mother. They had Antonio Sabato Jr. plays my brother. It was the writer of Falcon Crest. Linda Gray was on the second season. They had some really good people involved. So that's actually how I was first acquainted with PureFlix. Now, the CEO of PureFlix had actually heard of this treatment that I had written while Donna and I was doing Queens of Drama. And when I was meeting with him, he actually asked what had ever came of this, because he had heard about this, you know, female-driven comedy. And he wanted a pitch. So I had to get my ducks in a row and actually do a formal pitch. Which it was interesting, because obviously my mind was set on a very different show and had to try to switch brains to that. And long story short, that ended up working out to where we got 8 episodes. And I called up my dear friend who, you know, wrote The Golden Girls and Touched by an Angel. You know, his list of comedies before Touched by an Angel are just so extensive, it's unreal. You look at his resume, it's mind-blowing. But I know him because of the fact that he wrote The Golden Girls, and that's one of my favorite shows ever. And told him, hey, remember that idea? We're going to do it. So he and I and one of my girlfriends, we all collaborated and made this glorious thing called Mood Swings. So in between production of Hilton Head Island and the start of our shoot date, we actually took the treatment to actually writing 8 full episodes.
By the way, the writer you were referring to is Bob Collery, who also did The Facts of Life, as well as Golden Girls and
yes,
Touched by an Angel. And Daniel Pizzuti is your colleague as well in putting this show together. Sean Lambert is the director of the program. He did the episodes of The Larry Sanders Show, one of the great HBO shows of all time, as well as Grounded for Life, a very underrated sitcom when it was on the air. They ran for 2 seasons and a few other things as well. A lot of people don't know about PureFlix. And in doing the research for our conversation, one of the things I noted is that it's, again, one of those services that's largely available on smart TV sets and smart devices. But it really does have a following. Their Facebook page has, check this out, folks, 1.6 million followers. And I think for a network that has that kind of distribution, smart TV sets and devices, that is really an amazing achievement. This network has a lot more going in store for it than a lot of people think.
It's true. Yeah, it's funny. Of the people who don't know of it, when I mention it to them, I would say a good 90% of them, when I say, do you remember those movies, God's Not Dead? And they're like, yeah, I remember seeing like commercials and things like that. I remember that when that came out, and you know, there was a couple of them, right? I said, yeah, that's PureFlix. Oh, wait, okay, now I remember. Like, then they put the pieces together. So yeah, they know it, but they might not think they know it, but they do. But you know, how to find it and whatnot, that's another thing. I don't think everybody knows that it's, you know, also an incredible streaming service, and it's not just faith-based where. You know, it's actually family friendly, so you can actually put your kids or, you know, your nieces and nephews in front of it and let them click away, and you don't have to worry about what they're going to put on.
All right, Simon Applebaum with you with the Marvin Show. Let's see if Crystal Hunt is back with us. Crystal, are you there?
I am.
There we go. We apologize for somehow or other. We had a technical glitch that bounced you off, and I had to go redial in to get back in and bring us both back on. So we're good. We're good. We're back on along with our listeners. And for those just joining us, that's Crystal Hunt, the star, creator, and executive producer of the new Pure Flix series, Mood Swings, comedy premieres next Thursday night, original series. So tell us about the program and the plot of the show.
Well, it's sort of, obviously, it's a modern twist on the Golden Girls. That's at least where it was created from, the concept. It is a story of this young divorcee who has an 8-year-old child. And she realizes now that she's actually officially divorced that things are, there's this thing called bills that she never really had to worry about before. And some of them are quite expensive. And she doesn't really think that there's a good shot at she's going to be able to pay this thing called a mortgage that she also didn't know about. So her solution is to find another house, find something smaller, downsize. And we find out that that's also not exactly fitting for the child because it's already enough trauma for the child to see his parents split up. The last thing he wants to do is lose his home too. So she has to think outside the box and find roommates so that she can somehow find a way to keep this situation afloat and make do. And that is the exciting world that happens when you combine a bunch of different females with a bunch of different levels of estrogen in one house.
As the trailer showed, it's a very diverse set of roommates, in part led by Robin Riker, who many people know is a very popular soap opera star herself of Bold and the Beautiful and General Hospital. Sophia Gaxka, I believe is her name, is from Ballers, which just wrapped up its run on HBO. And Christina DeRosa, from Bad Moms.
Yeah.
Is also,
yeah. And we also have Jason Earls, too, from Hannah Montana and Kickin' It.
Both very popular shows on Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Both very popular shows on Disney Channel. So you got a nice group of folks there.
Yeah, we do. We really do. And which I must say, it made it a joy to actually shoot because we had a bunch of professionals, which I couldn't have asked more.
Well, speaking of professionals, what is it like to get people like Donna Mills and Diane Cannon to play major roles?
So it's crazy. It's absolutely insane. It's amazing. However, I do know Donna. This is our, fourth maybe project together. So I'm not starstruck as, because she's my friend. So now it's a little different. However, when you take a step back and realize that's Donna Mills, it's kind of crazy and kind of fantastic and the same, in the same thing. It's awesome. However, I didn't know Diane at all until her rep had called wanting to know a little bit more about the show and, was inquisitive about one of the characters for Diane. I was floored. I'm rarely speechless. I was speechless. I mean, that's just, how much more could you ask for?
Knowing Donna as knowing Donna as you do, Crystal, how has she taken her career? Knowing that at one point a lot of people saw her as like the queen of the made-for-TV movies, as I mentioned earlier, and or let us know her as, one of the long-running stars on Knox Landing, which was, for many people, very iconic in the world of nighttime drama.
Right. Well, like I said earlier, I think that's what's kind of incredible about her is when she was doing all those nighttime cable TV movies, a lot of those she was producing, too. So to me, it's just unbelievable. I couldn't have more respect for her. I mean, I know I've told her this before, but I couldn't have had better shoes to want to follow in. She gives such a great example to other women who are wanting to try and create something new.
Mm-hmm. Crystal, what are you learning as not just a star of this project, but as a writer, as the creator of this? in some ways the overseer as executive producer. What are you learning about the behind-the-scenes process of making television work that you like, or some, or even issues that you have to deal with?
I would say that I don't mind any of it. I would say the one thing that I've noticed is that there are things that arise that require not just the people who you've hired to help sort of solve those issues while you're in front of the camera. Sometimes things arise that can't be resolved without you. And so I would say that would be the most challenging thing, is trying to put fires out, trying to come up with solutions for problems, and then, you know, turn around and be funny. I would say that's probably one of the most difficult things I'd say. And it's still not that terrible, because I feel like soaps kind of put you through the best possible boot camp when it comes to being a resilient actor and a prepared actor. So I think if it wasn't for that, you know, sort of framework that they put in, you know, I started when I was 17. So what I know is from how soaps trained me. So I'm very thankful to that, because I think that if I had not had that experience, I think I would have been lost.
What kind of support is Pure Flix giving you as the kind of service it is?
They are our distributor. They are the distribution company. So they are the company that's taking a chance and putting us on their network.
Mm-hmm. Well, given the fact that the show is now about to go on the air, what's exciting you about not just the fact that it's that your baby is finally, your creation is finally going to go on the air, but where do you see it going? How do you want to develop your characters, your storylines, the way the audience sees this series and how these women are?
That's funny. We talk about this a lot, especially Bob and I. we definitely foresee finding a way to have Auntie Sam and Wanda, Donna Mills and Diane, on more often, if not on every episode, which I think would be incredible. We've got to cause more, even more, because there's already been enough, but we've got to cause even more of a stir around, you know, the Hunter household. A little bit more estrogen from both strong females in her family wouldn't hurt. I think that with the child that's growing up and he's going through all the normal things that kids go through, that adds such a great dynamic to play off in a house full of females, except for, you know, Angel, who is like the resident handyman who isn't very good at being handy at all. So he's like a big kid himself. So the combination of that with all of the troubles that females go through and all their different emotional changes, the sky's the limit with what you can write for that, which I think is just fantastic and so exciting.
The program is Mood Swings. It's the latest original series from the folks at Pure Flix, and it premieres next Thursday, October 24th. If you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device, whether it's Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, chances are you can get Pure Flix and you can get Crystal series Mood Swings. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.pureflix.com. That's www.pureflix.com. Mood Swings premieres next Thursday. Crystal Hunt Starr, creator, executive producer of the program, thank you for joining us. Good luck with you and everybody involved. Hopefully this is the beginning of a long-running show for you, and it's been a delight to have you with us.
Same here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, Crystal. All the very best to you, your cast and crew. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. You too.
You too. Crystal Hunt from Mood Swings joining us live from Los Angeles. And now before we leave you, time for Up as an update, where we catch up on guests and topics we have had on this program. On Monday, we introduced you to Michael Winner. He's one of the executives at Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, and he's also the executive producer of a new series on Crackle, one of their first unscripted ones called Going for Broke. Ashton Kutcher's involved in this series. We deal with people who have been hurt by the student debt crisis, on the financial skids, and trying to make their way back. Well, I can tell you yesterday, the Denver Film Festival announced that they are presenting a screening of Going From Broke on Thursday, November 8th, 7 p.m. local time. And they'll have the people involved in guiding these folks on the Financial Kids in the series live in person. Once again, this will be Going From Broke, a special screening as part of the Denver Film Festival happening on Thursday, November 8th, 7 p.m. local time. And we thank the folks at Series Fest, the TV festival based in that Mile High City, for making it happen. If you want more details about the screening, and if you want tickets to it, if you're in the Denver area, here's where you go, denverfilm.org. That's denverfilm.org. And if you want to know more about Series Fest, which is doing several screenings and presentations at Denver Film Festival in November, www.seriesfest.com. That's www.seriesfest.com. And again, Going For Broke is on Crackle. And for more details, crackle.com. Remember, Crackle is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And if you want to hear the interview that we did with Michael Winner that we did on Monday, go to blogtalkradio.com/televive and hear the podcast on iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, and, of course, iHeartRadio.com. Again, I want to thank Crystal and Neil Moreau for being with us. I promised you a fun hour, and I think we made the spot. Coming up Monday on Smart Televised, we will have, from the new NBC series Perfect Harmony, creator and showrunner Leslie Woke Webster. And from The Morning Show, one of the new series coming up November 1st, the premiere of Apple TV Plus, co-director of photography Michael Grady. And next Friday, among our guests, the creator and the executive producer of Blues Clues on Nickelodeon and the new version of Blues Clues on the Universe next month, Tracy Paige Johnson. If you came in late on today's episode or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, like the one we did on Monday with Michael Winner, remember, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/televise. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. And don't forget, throughout the weekend, you can hear all of our recent episodes on podcast at iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. If you go there, make sure you put Smart Money Televised in the search bar, clicking you're in. And one more time, if you want to read the interview that was done by MediaNotice.com, which I write for, with Megan Hilty and Jesse Roller from Patsy and Loretta, go to www.MediaNotice.com. That interview is now available. Remember, we love hearing from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. We do return your social media and your email within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeart Radio. Our Professor Associate BTR is Candace Williams, and he tells Blog Talk Radio's General Manager, with Jake Sonnenberg, Executive Content Producer. The co-founders of BTR are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow we tell us is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For 3 free other books and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. But tomorrow we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We're back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeartRadio Radio Podcast Network. And remember, whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.